22 in the settlement. Because of his mercy, because he had mercy on us.
I can think of many times in my life where people have not had mercy on me, you know, and you know, I probably deserved it, you know, I got what I deserved, you know, either acting like a jerk or doing something wrong, but I'm so thankful that God gave me mercy.
Amen.
Not only that, but on a daily basis.
Yeah.
I mean, think about your life. Think about the things that you do, the things that you think, the anger and the vindictiveness and the lust and the, all that junk that God could come down on you any time He wanted to and correct you in a very strict and stern way. But I look back and I think, man, God is just so merciful.
Amen.
He cuts me slack. He gently reproves and I just want to thank God for that today.
Amen.
And then the other thing is, thy faithfulness shalt thou establish in the very heavens. I'm telling you what, you can't hardly count on anything nowadays. You can't count on what people say. You can't count on promises. I remember one time, I mean, Judy and I were so broke we couldn't even pay attention. And they wanted us back home for Thanksgiving. And I thought, man, I can't even afford the gas. And, you know, this is just this. And the kids, they got school. And just all these things. I didn't have a dime. And my brother said, look, if you could just get here, don't worry about it. We'll take care of you. We'll make sure that you get home. So I did. I scraped together pennies and I drove to Arizona and I talked to my brother. Hey, man, a little bit of gas to get home. Oh, that wasn't what I meant. And I'm like, you know, people, they just don't keep their word. You know, they make promises and then we do the same thing. You know, we promise, yeah, man, I'm going to be there. And then for some reason, I'm telling you something, when God says something, He is going to come through.
Amen.
When He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you,
yes,
He means it.
Amen.
He's faithful. He's going to be
Amen.
There. He's never going to dodge out. He's never going to absolve of His responsibilities. If He says, I am going to save whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord, that's exactly what He means.
That's right.
That's what I want to be thankful for this morning, starting
Amen.
Out. The mercy of God and the faithfulness of God. Man, isn't the Lord good?
Amen.
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 Amen. In James 1:17. Come with me. James 1:17. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. As I was trying to think of where to start, where do you start to thank the Lord? I couldn't help but think of His Word. In Psalms 139:14, I believe that's where, because I hope I didn't get mixed up here. Psalms 139:14, every word of God is pure. Is that right?
Yeah.
Am I in the wrong place? Proverbs 35:6. I have three verses here. Okay. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in thee. Add not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and they'll be found a liar. I couldn't help but just think, what if we didn't have His Word? If He didn't, if I didn't have His Word, I wouldn't
Amen.
Know.
It's true.
I wouldn't know that that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made.
Amen.
And He created all things. And in Romans 8:28, it says that all things work together for good to those that love God. How would I know that if I didn't have His Word? So I couldn't help just say, Lord, thank you for your word.
Thank you, amen.
Thank you for your word, because I wouldn't know
amen.
Any of this. I wouldn't know that I'm a sinner. I wouldn't know that I needed him. I wouldn't know that he died and made, gave his life for me to give me eternal life if I didn't have his word. So that's what I'm thankful for today.
Amen.
His word, because from here I learned everything else about life.
Amen.
In Philippians chapter 4, y'all probably know by now that 6 and 7 are a couple of my favorite verses. But I want to thank the Lord for the practicalness of His Word. Now, starting verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and my crown to stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Euodias, to beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel with Clemente also and with others, my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be careful for nothing, but for everything in prayer and supplication, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brother, this rest of these verses here is to reinforce that those two verses are the way I look at it anyway. And this is a really practical part of it. He not only tells you how, but he gives you a checklist even. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Amen. Now we get the checklist, and I had a flash go through my mind, or I'll come back to it here in a little bit, Lord willing. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard, seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly. And now, at this time, at this last, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you had lacked opportunity. Not that I speak with respect of want. I have heard, learned in whatsoever state I am, wherein to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to be abound, or how to abound everywhere, and all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. And anyway, it's some more stuff in those next few verses there. But the thought that I had about this here is those first 6 and 7 there, you get through that and you're still not having the peace that God intends for you to have. Maybe you need to go through the rest of this checklist here. And check yourself off. Make sure that you're doing the things that you're supposed to be doing. And that's the practicality of all of this.
Amen.
That God doesn't leave anything to chance. He doesn't leave it to me. It's kind of like David in Psalms. He didn't trust himself. He said, God calls me to do this and that. He calls me to do this and this.
Amen.
And that's another good thing is... whenever things aren't working out and we're not able to keep our promises and what have you, maybe we need to be praying that same prayer that David's been praying. God calls me to do what is right before your eyes. And, you know, throughout the Old Testament, there's a lot of places they pray and they say, God calls me to do these things, do thus and thus and thus. God calls me to do this and thus. So, again... the Word of God is very practical.
Amen.
And it is a guide for that we can use and benefit from for our whole lifetime.
Thank you, Lord.
On the face of this earth and encourage others as well to do so.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, Luke. Luke chapter 10. Jesus had sent these men on a mission, and they've been out. You know, this is
I guess, I mean, this is a new thing experience to them, right? I mean, they're out there preaching, and they have the power to actually cast out devils and stuff like that. And they're excited. Verse 17 says, "And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as a lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." Now that's something, right? Yeah. He says, nothing's going to hurt you. You're going to have the ability to cast out demons. I mean, you're doing a great work. You're preaching the word, and it's an amazing thing. And they were excited about it, all the things they could do. They actually were casting out devils, and I think they had a real problem at that time in that area where people were just, there were devils all around, and they were able to cast them out. But Jesus says something in verse 20, and he says, "Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." I think Jesus wants us to recognize how our names being written in heaven, how salvation is a really big deal.
Amen.
I mean, being able to cast out demons and devils like that was a great thing. That was an amazing thing. But Jesus says, don't rejoice in this. Let me tell you something. Don't rejoice in that y'all have the ability. Y'all are over in power over these devils. They're subject to you. Y'all can command them. He says, don't be rejoicing over that before you recognize how big and great of deal it is that your name is written in heaven.
Amen.
That's a big deal. That's a great thing. And we want to emphasize that. We want to recognize that what Jesus Christ has done for us, given us the ability to be saved and have our names written in heaven, that's a big deal.
Amen.
And we want to rejoice in that. And I want to rejoice in that today.
Thank you.
I want to sing number 18 in the supplement. Number 18 in the supplement.
I'm not afraid to die.
Look at 1 Samuel chapter 3. Go along with what Sandy and Melvin both shared. 1 Samuel chapter 3. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days."
Amen.
"But there was no open vision." This is Thanksgiving meeting. Our purpose here is to be thankful. And not really to exhort, not really to rebuke, just to be thankful. And the Bible says here, the word of the Lord was precious in those days because there was no open vision. There were no prophets getting words from God to tell them what they were supposed to do or what's going to happen. There was nothing miraculous happening to them. They were just depending upon what they had heard from their fathers. And it says here, "And the word of the Lord was precious." Amen. And you know, that's where we are today. And I just got to tell you, I am also thankful for the word of God.
Amen. Yes.
I'm thankful for God providing this book so that when there is no open vision, I mean, when we don't have a miraculous speech from God telling us what we're wrong in, what we're supposed to do to change, I'm amazed by the fact that God has done that in the past. And I think it's a wonderful thing. But the fact that He gave us His Word, something you can actually go back to and investigate and find out if it's true or not. You actually can investigate this. It leaves all kinds of information in the Word so that you can go and investigate it and see if it's telling the truth or not, or whether they are believable witnesses or not. It's the Word of God. God gave us His Word. And when God hasn't done anything for you, when you are sort of at the edge of despair or something, and you just wish God would do a miracle for you. Maybe it's in your health wise or what have you. You've got the Word of God to go back to at all times. You can always, it's a foundation for us. It's a guide for us, and it gives us the basic truth no matter what. And of course, you all will go through those times. But if you just keep reading, I want you to notice something else that I'm very thankful for. Look at it says, "And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, Here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, Here am I, for thou calledst me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, Here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, Go lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, Speak, for thy servant heareth. And then we have, from then on, the word of the Lord coming through the person of Samuel. And there's a couple of things here that make me realize how thankful I am to God. Yes. First of all, the provision that God has of people in my life.
Amen.
that have Amen. Solved a problem Amen. For me, or that have given me a guidance, or given me the understanding of what I'm supposed to do, or even just an example of how to do it. And that has happened in my parents. My parents, and God provided me a wife to stand by me all these years, whether in the mission field or what have you. These are all tremendous things, blessings. I've had the tremendous co-workers that God provided.
Amen.
I didn't go to them and talk them. I didn't mentor them. I didn't tell them what they were supposed to do or how I needed help. And I didn't send out prayer letters saying, Come and help me. These are just people God said, Bill needs help. And He provided them and sent them to me. All of them. I'm working with co-workers right now that are lifelines for me, that are blessing me. I've got people in my church. I've got people at my work, people that God has provided for me. He's provided an employment. He's provided all the necessary things that I've needed all the way through all these years. And all of that brings me back to another thing I'm thankful for, and that is that when I was 16 years old, God talked to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
Now, if he hadn't talked to me, I probably would be, if he hadn't come and done something special in my life, I would have been adrift in this world, like a whole lot of people are. Have no idea where I'm supposed to be, what I'm supposed to be doing, or even if there is any purpose at all in my life. In fact, I talk to people all the time who clearly have no purpose in their life. The only purpose they could possibly have in their life is to please themselves, to get themselves some pleasure, to get themselves accumulate wealth, or I don't know, that's their only purpose in life. And that's not what life's about.
Amen.
And I just feel sorry for those people, because that's not what life's about. It's not about accumulating stuff. It's not about getting more stuff than your neighbor. It's not about living the longest with the most health as possible and then die. That's not what life's about.
Amen.
Life's about knowing God serving Him.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Just being able to please Him in any way. That is what all of life is about. And God spoke to me when I was 16. My grandpa had died. First death in my family that I remember. And my grandpa had died, and I started dealing with me about my death, and God spoke to me. Now, he didn't speak to me like he did Samuel here. I appreciate him talking to Samuel in an out loud voice, because, you know, that's the way God did it with him. But with me, he wasn't an out loud voice, but it was something through the scriptures and through the example of my parents and through my life as it was up to that point that I had been living just for myself, not thinking about God's will or God's purpose or what life was even about. And God talked to me. And it was as clear as if he had spoken out loud. He talked to me and asked me, basically, what are you going to do in your life? What do you have to live for? What is your purpose? What are you expecting to get out of this life? And it came so clear to me that to this day, I cannot shake it out of my mind. I can't get rid of it. There's no possibility for me to compare whatever there is in this life to compare that with what is eternal and being able to serve God. I realized there was nothing else in life except serving God. And that's when I gave my life to the Lord. And Lord, I knew immediately that I was called to preach and that I had to serve God. It's the call of God. And He's done it in people's lives in this room.
Yes, sir.
Where you thought you were going your own way and you thought you had your own plans and your own ambitions. And God said, no, no, Roland, that's not for you. No, 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 not for you. You got something else. And I've called you to something else. And I wouldn't trade anything in my life for that call.
Amen.
There's nothing I want more than that call that God spoke to me. If God hadn't spoken to you, I feel for you. I just really feel for you. I hope you throw your whole hopes and ambitions on what the Bible says, because if He doesn't speak to you, you've got the Word of God. You can go back to the Word of God and say, okay, God, I'm believing your Word. But boy, when God spoke to me, that changed my life. And it changed my wife, and it changed my children. It changed my future. It changed my grandchildren. It changed my eternity. This is all because of what God did when He called me out of my own selfish ambition, my silliness, my earthliness, and said, there's something more. There's something bigger. You need to go for the eternal. This is what Jesus said many, many times. Don't lay up treasures on earth.
Yeah.
It's all going to go away. Lay up for your treasures in heaven. And God, Jesus could see it. Jesus could see that, what was important. It's hard for us to see it, but it's true. And oh, if God would just speak to you that way and change your life that way, wow, that's the best thing that could possibly happen.
Amen.
But if He doesn't, the Word of the Lord is precious.
Amen.
You can just trust what it has to say. You can trust it, read it, know it, and trust it. And then you will also be guided by God's Spirit.
Amen.
Because that is one of the best gifts He can possibly give you.
Amen.
The guidance of His Spirit to let you know what this life is about. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Turn to Romans chapter 12. Something along the same vein of thought here. It says in verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This chapter talks about gifts, talks about how to live for Christ. In such a way, it's a completely different mindset from the world. It's a shifting of thought. But right here, I want to look at just this verse, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God's Word is powerful.
It can change the way you think, the way you act, the way you even feel.
Right?
It is powerful. I want to thank God publicly for His Word and what it has done for my life, for my family, for my destiny. I'm so thankful for God that He opened my eyes and allowed me to see. When I first came to this church many years ago, I knew I was saved. There was two things I knew for sure. I knew that I was saved, and I knew that God loved me. And I love Him for that. I just know it. There was no doubt in my mind. But what I didn't know is I didn't know how to live for Christ. I came from a Catholic background. I got saved at a young age. I was in and out of church, you know, through my youth. And I really didn't have a good example on how to live for Christ. But when I came here, I came to this church, God gave me gifts. This chapter is talking about gifts too as well. He gave me gifts of men, examples, people. And one thing that, you know, that I learned is how to live for the Lord. You think about reading the Bible. What an impossible task if you never read it and you look at it, right? But then you start hearing how to do it. They teach you here how to read the Bible. So many chapters a day. They teach you about the Bible. They teach you how to be what a real man is. They teach you about what love is, about God's love. And in that, in teaching you how to live for Christ, it makes you a better person, a better husband, a better father. You don't have to repeat a certain trend in your life or a history in your life. You can start your own history.
Amen.
Right? God gives you power. He gives you power through His Word, and He transforms your mind. He changes you. His Word is so powerful, it goes past the mind. It penetrates the mind, the spirit, and it hits down into the soul, and it changes you. There's power in God's Word. I want to thank Him for that power. I want to thank Him for His Word. I want to thank Him for the many examples and the good men that have been in my life that have spoke, that God has spoke through them to me. I came here with, when I first came, I was offended that I didn't come back for weeks, right? Because I never heard anybody preach about sin. I didn't. It was always about, you know, God loves you, He has a plan for you, so on and so forth. But I believe it was Brian who was preaching, he was just preaching about sin, and I got offended. Because it was my sin, right? It was my sin. And I remember speaking with my wife, and she was like, I'm like, who does that guy think he is? Right? Who does he think he is? Like, he doesn't know me. And he's like, oh, he doesn't know me. You ever thought maybe God was speaking?
There you go.
And that, it was an epiphany, right? But I didn't say anything, so I was like, okay, I'll go back. And then I heard Brother Lindell preaching the next Sunday. And if Brian wasn't bad, next Sunday, he preached a message I had never heard ever, because he repeats some of them, like, sort of, you know. And that's not a bad thing, we need to be reminded. But he preached this message, and it said, he was saying, it was at the end of his message, it was about God, running from God, running from God. And I had ran for God for a lot of years, literally halfway across the world. God chased me halfway across the world. And I have to say, this was so funny, because every supervisor that I had was a Christian. I don't believe in circumstances. I don't know about you.
Right.
I don't believe in, like, oh, it's a coincidence.
Right.
And no, it was God chasing me, because they would always invite me to church. And I'd go, and it was just God chasing me. And I see that now.
Yeah.
How is that every single supervisor or management person I had was a Christian? And a real Christian at that.
Hallelujah.
Right?
Amazing.
And then I come here, and, you know, that's the thing. And I had been running from God for a long time. Bitter, angry. And then Little was preaching about running from God. And he said, at the end of his sermon, he gave this invitation. But this was, he was younger, right? He said, God has killed kings. He has killed priests. He has killed nations. What makes you think you're going to win? You can't run from God.
Right.
You can't even fight God. And he said, why don't you just surrender?
There you go.
You're better off. You don't want God to kill you.
And that was the day I was just broken. And I came that night and I was talking, you know, just, that was it. I had surrendered to the Lord. I had said, you know what, I'm done running. I'm done fighting. And I just surrendered to God. And I gave my testimony. And then I sat down and somebody just said, welcome home. And I didn't take that as they saying it, but as God saying it to me.
Amen.
And He just changed me.
Amen.
He just changed me from then on. He made me a different person.
Amen.
My whole mindset just shifted and changed. I hope if you're saved today, if you don't think the same way you thought 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30, 40, however long you've been saved, God has transformed you. He's changed me. He's given me the power to be His Son. I want to thank Him for His word and the faithful men that give it, the examples, teaching me how to live for Him, transforming me day by day into the image of Christ. You know, I just want to thank Him for His
word.
Amen. Lord is good. We go to the Ecclesiastes.
Ecclesiastes.
Chapter 2. I want to, this morning I want to thank the Lord for two parts of my life, the everyday living in this world and in the spiritual side. And I'll start off just with the everyday living. I think all of us can stand up probably all day and just give thanks for everything we have and just the country we live in. And I just thank the Lord for that. And starting verse 24, chapter 2, it says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. For who can eat, or who else can hasten thereunto more than I? For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he giveth travail to gather, to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is vanity and vexation of the spirit. So I just thank the Lord for everything that I have, because He's the one who provides everything, right? For me to be able to provide for my family, for my beautiful wife and my kids. And I just thank the Lord. I could be here all day of everything He's given me, but I don't lack in anything, right? So I just thank the Lord for that. He's been good to me. I don't know how long it'll last with everything that's coming in this world, but I just thank the Lord for now that I'm able to live in this country, be free, and be able to praise the Lord and thank the Lord publicly and not be scared of any kind of repercussions currently, right? And I just thank the Lord, because also there's the flip side of that, right? It talks about the sinner. I remember, and you know, when you're not faithful to God and you're not saved, like, nothing ever works out. Like, you're just like, man, and you're always doomed. And I don't know if that's just, I mean, I do know. A lot of it has to do just with the peace you have of salvation and God inside of you, right? You can deal with all that. But I just thank the Lord that I'm no longer that sinner that has no hope and has no peace, right? And I just thank the Lord that He provides all, and He knows what everything He's doing. He's a lot smarter than I am, and He provides it. Now we could turn to John 3:16. I'm going to shift over to the spiritual side, that I just thank the Lord. Because for many years of my life, I grew up very religious. My dad was a non-denominational / Pentecostal preacher, and I grew up in a religion of works, a works gospel, and people thought, I mean, I thought I was better than people, right? Like, well, I'm not like that guy, or I could point out all these different sins that I'm justified and I'm better than some of these people, and if anyone's going to go to heaven, it's me, because I. And I fit all these categories. And John 3:16, I probably memorized it since I was a kid. And it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I read that and I thought I believed it. I thought I knew it. And when I finally got saved, the day I got saved, that scripture just made so much sense to me. That said everlasting life. Like, how can I have everlasting life today if I thought I could lose it in my works? Then I was never having everlasting life. So I was like, wow. Like, it was there this whole time, and I had just missed it, you know? And John 3:16 gives you the peace and understanding that you'll have everlasting life today, and you may know that you have everlasting life, And I just praise God that when I got saved, I understood that scripture. And that's my favorite verse of all, because it's kind of like I knew it this whole time. I memorized it, but I didn't know it. And I did it, and it just came so real to me that one day it said, it's not about you. Like, it has nothing to do about you, right? But religion teaches you, oh, you got to do all this. And then someday, maybe you'll do enough, and then you can go to heaven, right? And that's not what the Bible teaches at all. And I was so blessed by that, that God was so good to help me understand the gospel and get out of religion. And for that, I'll go to Psalms 100. And it says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. And I just thank the Lord that I could be here today, and I could just make a joyful noise unto him, and thank him, and praise him again this year. Thank you.
Deuteronomy chapter 2. I have a lot to be thankful for. I'm sure you can say the same thing. But you know, the path that God brings us through sometimes is a path. First of all, it's an enlightening path. Because when he saved me, I was enlightened. I'm thankful for that. That came through his word. You know, his word was brought to my door 40-something years ago.
Yeah.
And my wife and I, she got saved a few weeks before I did. We've been saved by God's grace 41 years. This is my word.
Amen.
This is our spiritual anniversary.
Amen.
We have our other anniversary, right? Our anniversary in February. We celebrate the whole month too. But God is good, and you know, I don't say this to boast. It's only by God's grace I'm still walking with him. You'd say the same thing.
You're right.
I'll tell you this, young person. I got saved at the age of 24. If it was up to me, I'd have got saved at a younger age, like some of these that are around here.
Amen.
And you that got saved at an early age, man, you got something precious. You're keeping yourself out of a lot of trouble that will come back and haunt you during your walk with the Lord.
Right.
So I'm just thankful that I did get saved at 24.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just thankful God used his word. It wasn't something that I needed to see or feel. God convicted me, Robert. God gave me his conviction in my heart by his word.
Amen.
And I said, that's true.
Yeah.
That's what I need to do.
Right.
And I call on Jesus, Lord. He saved my soul. But I'll spare you the time. I just read a couple of verses out of Deuteronomy 2. This is the Israelites all the way to Canaan. And they're, you know, we know this part of their story, how they went through good and tough times. And that's basically the Christian walk. You're going to have good times, you're going to have some bad times. Okay? So, not to discourage you that haven't come to Jesus. Because it's better, more good than bad. That's why we're here. Be thankful for that God has been good. Listen, I'll just read you the first verse and I'll spare you most of the context and go down to the verse I'll just speak on. Chapter 2, Deuteronomy, verse 1. Then we turned and took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. As the Lord spake unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days, and it goes on. It says, and the Lord spake unto me. And you know, that's how it begins. The Lord speaks unto us, as we heard from some of the testimonies earlier. But let's drop down to verse 7. It says, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works of thy hand. He knoweth thy walking. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness these 40 years. The Lord thy God hath been with thee. Thou hast lacked nothing.
That's right.
Amen.
Key word, 40 years.
Right.
I'm saying, hey, don't give up the walk. They say a lot of Christians back when I really walked with the Lord, they said that the Christian walk was generally around 7 years of your fall away.
Wow.
And you know, sure that was pretty true, and I'm sure it probably is now. It might be even less here. But yes, God has been good to us these years.
Yes, amen.
And like it says here, for the Lord thy God hath blessed thee in all thy works. I had a privilege to see some spiritual works.
There you go.
Amen.
Had it for a reason. I seen the Lord change some lives.
Amen.
Yes. Save some lives.
Amen.
And I can call right now down to Mexico, for instance, and hear of an Antonio down in Toluca, Mexico. And I haven't heard of him lately, but the last couple of months I talked to him, he was still serving the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Him only as a pastor in the church of a few. And he's been down there, I don't know, 10, 15, maybe 20 years, something like that, still serving the Lord. And I can say that's gospel.
Amen.
Yeah, but I had a part of it. Yeah, it says here, for the Lord thy God has blessed thee, my wife too, she ain't good, if it wasn't for her, I would have had no part of it, okay? For the Lord thy God has blessed thee in all thy works of thy hand. You can say that. God has blessed me.
Amen.
You've seen somebody come to the Lord. You've seen some fruit in your life.
Right.
Amen. Maybe you have it, but don't give up. It's coming.
Amen.
You can do it. Anyway, I'm thankful. And then he says, he knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. That's it, you know. Sometimes, you know, you look at the news. Listen to the news. See what's happening. We're thankful. The country we live in. The blessings we have. Still, even through all this mess and changes that are going on. And I know it's not to be preaching, right, Bill? But, you know, we can say that it is partially a wilderness. But it's a lot of blessings. And then it says, these 40 years that God hath been with me, I ain't like nothing. I gave it a testimony before in Puerto Rico that I didn't know the land well. We was traveling through the family, and we hadn't eaten for a long time, and I couldn't find a place to eat. And then I just, like everything, the Lord helped me. Sure enough, right on the corner there in that country town in Puerto Rico, I found a nice place of chicken. It was good. We ate good. I have a Latin king. I have amazing anything.
Thank you, Lord.
Even before I was saved, God is good. I didn't lack anything then. That same God, if you're not saved today, you're saved.
Yep.
Can we sing 449 in the red book?
Let's stand. Let's praise the Lord.
Praise, 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 praise Praise you, Lord.
All right, so I want to share Psalm 32. I just want to say that I'm thankful for the Lord that He's blessed me with salvation.
Amen.
Amen. And family. The little things every day, food on the table, all that comes from Him. The country we live in today, that we're free to, you know, we have His Word. There's so many blessings. And I was just thinking about it this morning, that all comes from God.
Amen.
Without the air we breathe, we'd all be dead in, you know, seconds. And that's God furnishing all of us every day. I'm just thinking about that this week, how God is, we owe Him thanksgiving. He's just such a good God.
Amen.
Whatever we have, we should be thankful. And Psalm 32 verse 1 says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile." I just want to say that I'm so blessed in Jesus to have salvation, to have fellowship with God, to be brought into the family of God, to have the hope of eternal life.
Yes.
To just have that confidence, to that the fact that he revealed himself to me, that he loves me, all those blessings, you know, to be well as a sinner welcomed into God's presence.
Amen.
Presence, and have a man, just really I'm just happy with knowing God.
Amen.
There's nothing else in the world that offers what it is to know God and have a relationship with Him. But I want to point out that what this verse is making me think about is that it's, he says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven." None of that would be possible, that relationship with God or anything, without His forgiveness, for His mercy, His grace. That's the only reason I have, this salvation, is because he chose to be merciful for me.
Amen.
The wrath of God was on me. I was looking to, when I thought about my circumstances before God, I knew I was a sinner and worthy of His judgment. And He forgave me. He forgave my sins, and it was a work that He did on the cross. It was by the shedding of His blood.
Thank you.
It was the life that He lived. It was His righteousness, everything. And He just gave it to me freely. And I just want to thank Him for that salvation is a free gift, that we have a great Savior, a mighty Savior, that saves us completely. And I just love the Lord. I'm so glad to know Him and to just be blessed by Him and have a relationship with Him.
Amen. Amen. Praise you, Lord.
Amen.
475.
Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
23. 26. And I do want to praise the Lord for everything that He's given me, and everything that we have for ourselves and our family. And there's so many things to give thanks to. But I just mention Him, because without Him, we are nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
He's given us everything, anything we've ever had, anything that you accomplished. You didn't accomplish it on your own. It's the Lord.
That's true.
For you.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. So these verses here, just they mean a lot to me. Verses 25 to 26, it says, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside you. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Amen. And that's just it. I mean, that says it all there.
Yeah.
It's Him. He's the one that has given us all that we have. And I just thank the Lord for everything I have and for my salvation and to be blessed to have been saved as a child. I've always known the Lord all my life. And it's just grown. I mean, I just learned so much, and I give so much thanks to the Lord leading us to this particular church. We've learned so much and grown so much from this church, from the people here. The Lord works through all our pastors, and it's just so much. It's joyous. This is our sanctuary. This is where we feel comfortable. I'm talking about me and my husband, Richard. We're just so grateful.
Amen.
Just give glory and honor to my Lord and Savior.
Yes.
Amen. In Psalm 86, verse 10, I grew up in a religion that pretty much, when I sat in church, I'd hear sermons and stuff, and I just never could get it. But they always had a backup to a backup. When if you needed help, you had a saint to pray to, and if that one didn't help you, you had another one. Anyway, in Psalm 86, verse 10, it says, "For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God and God alone." One day, a couple of people from this church knocked on the door of a house where I was visiting, and they witnessed to me and talked to me about the Lord, and I had a lot of questions. A lot of years in my life as I was growing up, and when they came and knocked on that door and told me who Jesus Christ was, and I believed that, it straightened out a whole lot of things for me. I'm still a sinner. I still have problems. But one of the things that's always kept me in my faith is watching other Christians have the same troubles that I have, and yet they don't walk away from their belief. They don't walk away from their faith. They seem to grow a little bit stronger by it. And I'm appreciative of people that do that. And then in verse 11 it says, "Teach me thy way, O Lord, I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." I come to this church. I started coming here after I got saved. And I've learned more in this church than I ever learned anywhere else about God. I don't know if this is the greatest church I've ever been in, but it is absolutely one of the best. And when I go to other churches that are affiliated with this one, it's nice that the belief, the language, everything's the same. And I'm grateful for that. Verse 12 says, "I will praise thee, O Lord my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forever." And I do. I give God the glory for saving my soul, for bringing me to this church, for allowing the family that I have to come to the saving grace of Christ also.
Amen.
I'm grateful for each and every one of y'all. I'm grateful for my preachers that teach all of us. I'm grateful for thy great mercy toward me. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest.
Amen. Thank you, sir.
Like I said, I was in a religion that didn't really teach me a whole lot of anything. But God had mercy on me. He did. He literally pulled me out of the lowest hell. And I want to give God, Jesus Christ, my thanks and my prayers for saving me.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord, Jesus.
Well, I was going to
say a lot of other stuff today, but it sounds like everybody's already shared what I wanted to share.
Amen.
I'm thankful for God's word.
Thank you, Lord.
And if anyone's sitting in here that doesn't know the good news, there's a lot of good news in the Bible on salvation. And after I was born again and saved, and when I was, I was 40 years old when I got saved. And the Lord apprehended me to His Word. And it taught me that, it showed me things I'd never read before in my religion for 40 years. And the one thing, John 3:3, that you must be born again. I had never heard that in all my 40 years. So, I mean, it's never too late, but I tell you, the sooner you come to Jesus, the sooner that you'll start living, because we're really just dust in the wind, going wherever we go by the way the world lives, until we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we have eternal life through Jesus Christ. I know I shared this last year, but you know, I'm going to share it again, that I just thank God for this church. And those who don't know, in the 80s, my dad was saved, but I didn't grow up with my dad. He sat in this church. He sat where we have open meetings, and we listen to old-fashioned hymns. My dad. And the good news is that I wanted to share too, those of you who don't know, we keep speaking about thankful for God's word. It never changes.
Yeah.
Like our iPhones change, the world changes, and the new styles, God's word, once you learn it, it's never going to change.
Amen.
You're going to share it for yourself, for the next generation, and the next generation, and the next generation, and nobody can destroy it.
Amen.
Amen.
Nobody can destroy it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because God is that powerful.
Yeah.
So you're not going to have to relearn it and relearn it and relearn it.
Right.
I'm just so grateful for so much. And like everyone, we can stand up here and give thanks for so much. But last year, I remember sharing the truth that the most valuable thing I can leave my children is this church.
Yeah.
The pastors. In Jeremiah it says, I will give you pastures according to my understanding and my heart. He has blessed me tremendously. Even in the Southside Church, when I first walked in there, I was saved, but I didn't know a lot. I didn't know that God, in Proverbs where it says, I will give you my spirit. I will pour my spirit onto you and make my words known unto you. He does.
Amen.
He does do that. We've talked about how we've heard Jesus talk through the scriptures. He's visited us. He visited me that night in my rent house, in my restroom, when I was on all fours and I cried out to Him.
Amen.
He saved me that day. I was never the same person.
Amen. Thank you.
I got up and I walked out of that restroom born again. I didn't
Amen.
Know what that meant.
Amen.
Right. I didn't know what that meant till 3 months later when I walked into Southside Church and they were having a revival. And we had a pastor there from Mexico visiting, and he was preaching on Romans 10:9-13. Wow. I said, I'm saved. I called upon the name of the Lord that day. I believe Amen. He rose after 3 days. Oh my goodness, there's Amen. A name for this?
Amen.
Like, wow. And some of you probably were raised all your life with that and the word of God and in church, and you've heard it thousands and thousands of times. I had never heard it before.
Yeah,
and I was just like, are you kidding me? I gotta go tell people.
Yeah.
And then I called my dad, and I told my dad that I didn't even grow up with. I was 40 years old. I'm like, thank you for praying for me all these years.
Yeah.
And I told him what church I was at and that the pastor I had, and he said, oh, I knew him when he was a little kid. We all went to Mexico together. Miracle. My dad came into the church, started coming to church with me every Sunday. Me, that's a miracle. You knew my past. And then 3 months later, my pastor let my dad baptize me because he was ordained minister. My dad, that I didn't grow up with for 40 years, got saved in the 80s and prayed for me.
Amen.
Amen.
And baptized me in 2010. Wow. Like, if y'all don't know, that's a miracle.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus still does miracles for families.
That's right.
This year I speak and say that the most valuable thing I can leave this earth, because everything else is vanity, is where the word of God is preached
Amen.
And not watered down
yeah.
and still old-fashioned.
That's right.
Amen. And now this year I have my daughter who's saved.
Amen.
And I have my other daughter here. I'm no longer here by myself.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord. Bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Are you
scripture that I want to share. Sorry. In John 20:18. And I, like I said, I was going to share a lot of other stuff because, but it's been said already. But this is after Jesus. This is when Mary Magdalene sees Jesus and he's already risen. And she goes back to the disciples. And there's a lot of us, right? If we're saved and we're following Jesus, we're his disciples. She goes to the disciples and like our open meetings, this is biblical. You don't find churches that do this anymore. I could be at any church in this city or in this world, and I thank God for this church where it's still that old-fashioned, pure Word of God. Mary Magdalene runs back to the disciples, and in John 20:18, Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. And that's what we're doing today. We're gathering as disciples and we're sharing. We're sharing what we've heard from the Lord. The things he has spoken unto us. The good things he has done for us.
Amen.
And I just thank the Lord that we can come and still, like the disciples, sit around and share the good things he's
Amen.
Done for us.
Yeah. So,
hallelujah. And with that, I wanted to share, I wanted to sing the song in the, number 100 in the, this one. In the assemble. Number 100.
Thank you. chapter 4, verse 12. Don't want to pray to glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name of the Holy Name. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
And it states in verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other.
Amen.
For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
We know what that name is, Jesus Christ. What I wanted to mention, not only to be redundant, but that term saved, when I was in religion, I didn't know what that word meant. So some Christian brothers came up to me and asked me, are you saved? It kind of bothered me. They asked me that. Said, saved from what? In a sarcastic way. But anyway, I'm so glad. I have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm not going to try to make a roll call. But I am very thankful that I came to a Bible-believing church.
Amen.
A church where the name of God is glorified, where the word is of God is preached, and we know our Bibles. Because when I was in religion, kind of like the brother had mentioned, I was in the Catholic Church. I didn't know that much. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I was ignorant of this book.
Amen.
I was completely ignorant of this book. I really didn't know anything about it.
Amen.
You know, as a matter of fact, I know I've mentioned this before, but when I would watch the professional football games and someone was holding up a sign that said John 3:16, I said, who's John? Why is he telling the Lord in section 3, row 16? And we got out of religion. I told my wife, no, we're not going back to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I said, the Lord will provide. And so glad that he came and put a yellow track, and we came to this church and we found our home.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been here since back in the early 90s. 93, we've been baptized already. So I have a lot to be thankful for. So glad that because of coming to this church, the Lord has spared me from the gates of hell.
Amen.
And the best is yet to come.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes. Praise
the Lord. I think it's 255.
Thank you. chapter 4, verse 13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. We looked up redound last night when I was reading it, and I was like, okay, this is rebounding glory, giving thanksgiving every single day for everything that he's provided for us, because nothing is given by chance. It's all by grace and by mercy, amen, unmerited favor. Amen. That's what we live by the glory of God. It's redounding. It's going back and forth to God. It's like giving him thanks every single time. And he's like, oh man, this is great. I hope he has joy with us giving thanksgiving, all of us giving thanksgiving today. All of the thanks I hear from everybody. We're thankful for the family, for our church, for the pastors. Before I was saved, I didn't know any scripture, Richard. I was like you. I didn't know Catholic religion. I went my first 16 years, 18 years of life. I knew it was wrong because my parents didn't go. So I said, well, if it's not good enough for them, why are they sending me to this church? And I'm not getting anything out of it. And so the first time I heard scripture, and yes, I love this book. It's the greatest gift that we have here on earth. So, yeah, the scripture just, man, the first time I heard it, it just opened my eyes. I was blind, but now I see. It's like, wow, Lord. I mean, this is beautiful. His word is just beautiful.
Amen.
Every word that's in it, you just read it, and then you want to read it over and over again. Because his spirit is in here. His spirit just reveals himself to you. And in verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's what we need to be doing, is be living day by day in the Lord, because he renews us day by day. We need that, because we're all going through different things in our lives that we need his abundant grace and mercy.
Yep. Amen.
For our life affliction, which we're going through right now, which is but for a moment, sometimes it feels not for a moment. It feels like for a while. It feels forever. Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal.
And that's
life. That's what I want, eternal spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit.
Amen.
Four in the supplement. All right, let's stand and sing. Let's raise the roof.
Thank you. 21 in a row.
Of the grace of God, which is given me to you, to you word, how that my revelation is made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote after or for in a few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge and the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is the grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being ruled and grounded and rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory of the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, without world end. Amen.
I want to go to Matthew 7. I can stand up here for probably the rest of the time. I almost pretty much said everything. And just, you know, just having two parents that were trying to teach me the gospel when I was younger, I was too stubborn to get what they were trying to tell me. And, you know, two sisters that understand the gospel and are able to give me that, you know, accountability and counsel whenever I need and stuff like that. So I want to read verse 13 and 14 and 4. Enter ye into the gate. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm just thankful that God showed me the narrow way. There's a lot of people that go down the broad way, and it's so easy, right? The gospel is so simple to understand, but it's also so easy to misunderstand and not get, right? And it's just, I thank God that He showed me the narrow way and made it simple and took the veil off and allowed me to see it.
Right.
And just gave me that truth and peace, and knowing that I'm not going to die. You know what I mean? Like, there's now eternal life that I have, and it's just that eternal gift is just so great and something that deserves to be given praise every single day of our lives, you know? And I just want to thank God for that. And, yeah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Can we turn to Hebrews 10:17? And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now to Romans 4:7-8. Saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I'm just thankful for the creator of creation, created minds, does not impute sin on me because of Jesus Christ. He's the only person that has a right to. I know just in our carnal and fleshly souls, we get selfish and become offended easily and begin to impute sin and criticize. And I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't do that.
Amen.
I'm so thankful that the Lord is not like us.
Right.
And, sorry, I'm a little nervous. Going to Psalm 46, verse 1. So not only does He forgive our sins and give us an eternal life, but He is also a present help. God, the Creator, is interested in our pretty little lives and sends us comfort, help, reassurance. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So I'm thankful for the Lord for that, for the constant guidance, the constant reassurance. And 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Not only does He give us salvation, not only does He give us a present help, but for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord.
I have a passage. John 20:29. I don't know, I just wanted Jesus talking, and He said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. I love it because that's God. We weren't alive 2,000 years ago, but we believe. And our Savior Himself has blessed us.
And I feel so blessed. I don't deserve to be here. I don't deserve salvation. I don't even deserve life.
Yeah. Amen.
And he has been so long-suffering and merciful with me.
Yes.
He's been knocking on my door for years. And I refuse to answer. I wanted to live my life the way I wanted to live it. But he is long-suffering. And I thank him for that. I thank him for all of y'all. Because I've been looking for a church for a while now. I don't know if y'all know, but churches around here, not just in the neighborhood, but in this city, y'all are special. Y'all are Bible believers. And I believe the Bible. I believe the Lord. I believe everything that's in here. I don't understand it all either. But I believe it in John 1, verse 11. It says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Amen. Even to them that believe on his name. That's us too. That is so cool.
Amen.
We know who we are because of this book. Like I said, it's a great book. It's got a way to live. Everything you need is in here. I tell my kids, go to Proverbs. I don't fear death. I don't fear men like I used to. I have to remind myself, because in here it says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world.
That's right.
And it's, I'm just glad to be here, and I'm glad y'all are here, because without y'all, we wouldn't be here. We'd be at home watching TV on YouTube, watching church on YouTube, and I thank the Lord for that too, because without that, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't have gotten into the Bible, and God is just so good. All the things he's done for me, he's had his hand on me for a really long time. I'm fatherless. And it says it in here, he pleads the cause of the widow and the fatherless. I'm just grateful. I'm not lucky. I'm blessed to be here.
Thank you.
I thank y'all.
Can we sing my favorite hymn, 256 in the red book?
Let's sing.
Most of y'all probably don't, but my name's Hugo. It's my first time here. I just want to say thank y'all for having me. It's so amazing to see the zeal of this church. It's awesome. It's very, very cool. If we could please turn to Exodus chapter 34. One thing I'm very thankful for is just that we just get to know the Lord. We get to learn about His character and who He is and how great He is. One verse that just I always go back to is starting in verse 6. And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, until the third and to the fourth generation. It's amazing to see that God can be so just, but then so merciful. That He can be so forgiving, but then also punishing. And for me, it's so hard to understand, but I think that's the amazing thing is that I can just always go back and learn more and more about who He is each and every day.
Amen. 477.
Thank you, Lord. Somebody standing up.
Somebody standing up. Go ahead.
Oh.
Psalm 92. Verse 1 and 2. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning, and thy faithfulness at night. Amen. The first verse says it is a good thing to give thanks. So today it is a good thing to give thanks. And it says, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning. This morning, give praise to God, and at night, be fully asleep. Our mind is on Him in the morning and at night. Someone will find. Verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon His name.
Yeah.
Make no misdeeds among the people. Sing unto Him. Sing psalms unto Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works. Glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in His strength. Seek His face forevermore. Remember His marvelous works that He hath done. His wonders and the judgments of His mouth. O ye seed of Abraham, ye servants, ye children of Jacob, His chosen. He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth, and He has remembered His covenant forever. The word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Again, it starts off in verse 1. O give thanks unto the Lord, and call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people, which we're doing today. To all those people that are here today, to those that hear and are rejoicing in Him. In verse 3, glory in His name and letting themselves rejoice because of Him. Seeking the Lord and His strength and seeking His face. And then the last verse says, He had remembered His covenant forever. The word commanded to 1,000 generations. Just like Samantha was saying, that happened years, thousands of years, but yet that same covenant that was given to Abraham is given to us to continue that praise and honor and glory that we give to God even now. And it's a generation that continues, not just with me, it continues with those that are younger and continue that generation in praising God. And I just want to praise God.
Yeah.
For all of you in this church that have helped me, Brother Leno, trained us up and grew us up in God's Word.
Right.
He was my first pastor, so I give him Lord. I didn't know the Lord. I was also Catholic. I grew up in a Catholic family. My mom and dad were very strong Catholics. I got saved at the age of 18 years old. My sister Diane was called up by Bernie Newman to come to this church. We didn't know anything about the Lord then. We knew only what Catholicism teaches you, just to follow Missalette and follow what it says, follow what they tell you. At the age of 18, my sister, she tried to witness to me, and when she witnessed to me, I had no idea what she was saying. When you first hear it, you don't understand. And then when we came here, my heart goes out to Bernie Newman because I loved her with all my heart. We grew up as childhood friends. That's how we knew her. We were little girls. We grew up together. And she loved us so much that she shared the gospel to me and my sister. And because of that, we are saved.
Praise the Lord.
And I wanted to let you know that because at any age, you can come to know the Lord. And you can grow in the Lord and learn what God has for you because He has something for each one of you. And I just want to let you know you are all precious to me. I told the ladies on Monday, we had a gathering with our ladies from the Bible study, that they all have a story with me. I have a story with them because I know them different. They know me different. I grew up with Pat Cortez. We were both young, right, Pat? We were like, hey, this is where we're at now. And I loved her. And the Gabby and Audie are just the same. Every time I see them, I see me and Pat. You know, how we grew up, learning God's Word, growing in God's Word, having our families, teaching our children the Word of God. My Matthew, I love him so much. He knows that. And my Samuel, my Elizabeth, my Alyssa that's in heaven. I love them so much. And I'm rejoicing that they know the Lord. Amen. And they know God. And then I have my children that are my daughters. I call them my daughters in Christ. I know Sabrin and my my beautiful daughters there, Skylar, you know, and so many, Gabby, Audie, there's so many. I could keep going on. Suzanne, I see her here today, and George, I mean, my Rosie. There are so many people, and Melissa, in the high school. We had this story behind this, too. There's just so many people that I know and I love, and I want to tell you now, because I won't be here next year. Me and Brian will be in Poland. But that's where God has taken us.
Yep.
And my heart breaks because I don't want to leave you. But I know that God has something else for us. But I want to let you know that I love you guys all so much. Billy and Debbie, I love you. You are an encouragement to me too. Because you've been on that mission field, Stephen and Audie, you've been on that mission field, you've taught us, Brando and Lena, you've taught me so much, just to know that you've been there, Donna and Eddie, there are just so many of you that have been testimony to me and Brian over and over again to say, how do they do it? How can they do it? How do these ladies handle this with their children behind and they're going and serving God? I look to them and I get my strength from them, but I know that God is going to give me that strength. And I love you guys. I want to let you know because there's so many in here that I have a story with. Debbie Christ, we had that fantastic trip from Mexico to Poland. Wow, that was amazing. But I want to let you know I love you. Miss Betty is not here today, but she's been an inspiration to me. Miss Angie and Roland, Rosie and Richard. There's just so many people that I love. And again, like I said, Brother Lindell, he's the one that taught us. And he's like another father to me, really. Amen. My father is in heaven, but I have another father here. Amen. And I say, thank you, Lindell, for this. I really do. And I love you all so very much.
We're going to sing number 477 in a minute. Let me read 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 10. Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation. And David said, blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, for all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thine hand is power and might, and in thine hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name. But who am I, and what is my people, that we should be able to offer so willingly after this sort? For all things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee. For we are strangers before thee and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. O Lord our God, all this store that we have prepared to build thee an house for thine holy name cometh of thine hand and is all thine own.
Amen.
I'll bet you feel that way.
Yeah, amen.
This has been an excellent open meeting. I just want you to know that it's not easy to teach how to do an open meeting. It's not easy to preside over an open meeting. But when people do it right, it's just beautiful. It's a way for you to praise God, and you've done that today. And I want to tell you, it's been a blessing. I also want to point out that we have done a little bit of praising of this church, probably a little too much, but it's because we're thankful to God for what He's done for us, the people He's put in our lives. We don't want in any way to pretend that it's about us, because it really isn't. It's about God. Who are we? We're nothing. And it's God. Everything is about God. We're going to be singing number 477 to close out this meeting. If you want, if you didn't get a chance, and I know some people didn't get a chance, but we're going to have an open meeting tonight at 7 o'clock after the Lord's Supper. You'd be more than welcome to come and give thanks to God at that meeting. Right now, we're going to have a moment of prayer in order to thank God for the food and the fellowship. And then we'll sing number 477 to finish us out for this morning's meeting. Brother Brian Tebow, would you thank the Lord for the food?
Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, for all this Thanksgiving and everything that you've come. We know that it's from your hand, Lord. And we recognize that, and we appreciate that, and we honor it. Lord, we thank you for the food and for everyone that came today in order to give you glory and honor and praise. And I pray that you bless the food, bless our fellowship together, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Let's stand and sing 477. yourself something to eat. Let the old folks cut in line so they can get through and sit down and watch your children. They have a tendency to take all the good stuff.